God, we thank you again for who you are. Lord, I just pray that in this time you would help us to, God, just to, you know, get a deeper understanding of who you are and, Lord, why we're here, especially in, you know, as I feel like as we're, you know, just maturing and living our lives, we often have more questions. We even have confusion and doubts. Lord, it's just sometimes hard to really follow or even believe in you. So, Lord, let this be a time where we can be refreshed, reminded of who you are, and just brought closer and brought nearer to you, Lord. So thank you, God, so much. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so today, I'm sorry, I didn't send Carol my slides, but I wanted to talk about the ascension, okay, continuing the series of the kingdom story. And last week, obviously, was Easter, right? We celebrated Jesus' resurrection, his death and resurrection. And actually, something that's really, maybe you guys didn't know, that in church like tradition, Easter, the day of Easter is the beginning of the Easter holiday, or the season of Easter. So right now we're actually in a season of Easter in the church tradition. But usually we celebrate Easter and then, you know, it's kind of done, right? But Easter kind of begins. And I think that makes a lot of sense, actually, that Easter season begins. Because Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, rising from the dead, being raised from the dead, that signifies, I think, the start of something. It's like a change, and it's a start of something. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, I had a couple passages that we're gonna, I want to look at. We're just going to look at it, you know, old-fashioned style. I'm just going to read them for you guys. But looking at a couple books and Jesus' last words to his disciples. And I looked at Mark, Luke, and John. I'm sorry, Matthew, Luke, and John. I left out Mark because the last segment of Mark, many scholars believe, it's somewhat controversial because many of the earliest manuscripts of Mark do not have that last section of verses. So there's that section in there where it talks about, maybe you guys are familiar with this, like it basically says, like, you know, if you become a Christian, you're going to be able to drink poison and not die and handle snakes. And then, you know, you won't get bitten and, like, you know, speak in tongues and all these things. And there was, I think, some confusion at times. I think there were many people who took it figuratively. And then there are those who took it very literally, like to an extreme. Like there are some churches in like the South where they would have like these events where they would get like snakes in their church. And, you know, if you had faith, you would go and you would like handle the snakes, like these deadly snakes. So we're going to save that for next week. But this week, we're not going to do that, okay? So if you ever read that passage and you're like, man, this is really troubling, I think there's a lot of evidence, like literary evidence, that it's either figurative or textual evidence that, like I said, in many of the earliest manuscripts, those passages are not actually in there. So many people think that they were added in later by maybe some interesting folk. Okay, so I'm not going to talk so much about Mark. But in Luke, Matthew, Luke, and John, I want to look at kind of the end of the stories or what happened after the resurrection. And you see, because that's what we have in the Gospels. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're stories. They're stories about a person who we believe really existed and really lived on this earth and really did miraculous things. We even believe that this person, that he claimed to be the Son of God, which to the Jews who he was talking to, that meant he's God, essentially. He's saying, I'm God. And there's this guy that walked around, and we know that because he said things like that, he got killed, actually. He was crucified. And we believe that he rose from the dead. Now, I know that in our culture today, it's like, man, how can anyone believe that? Or I'm not going to really talk about that. There are some smart guys who'd really argue for the evidence that Jesus did rise from the dead. There is evidence that he did rise, indeed rise from the dead. At the same time, at the end of the day, it is if it happened, which I believe it did, a miraculous and supernatural event. Okay, and that's why, yes, it's hard to believe, but we believe in God, and we believe that He can do such things, right? And so Jesus rose from the dead, and it's a story about all that, and then it ends not with just that, though. It's not just He rises from the dead, and the story's over. Thanks, Jeff. But, you know, He kind of says some last things, and, you know, the ending of movies, or ending of stories, I should say, is really important, just like the endings of movies are important. And stories themselves always are communicating something to us. Okay, right? A story is, it's like telling you something. It's not just events that are happening. There's a message being communicated. And that's why, obviously, not everything that Jesus did is not recorded in the Gospels. It's not like some guy or like John just went around and said, okay, for 3 years, I'm just going to write down every single thing that Jesus does. I'm just going to follow Him and write it down. That's not what He did. He chose certain stories. He chose certain events. He chose certain teachings, certain moments. John chose certain ones. Matthew, Mark, Luke. They all chose certain events because they who knew Jesus and they learned something about this guy and something about life and the world because of Him, something that was like, it was a big deal what they learned, and they're like, I want to communicate this. So I'm going to write a story about everything I saw. And it's not, and we have to remember, it's not arbitrary. It's not like, what things did I remember? I'm just going to write down whatever I remember. That's not what we see. We see a story that these guys wrote about Jesus' life to tell us something. That's how you have to look at the Gospels. And so the ending is really important. The ending of the stories and the story itself is really important, okay? And so that's what I want to look at today. What happened at the end? What happened after the resurrection? And I think that's really, it's super relevant to us. So let's just go ahead and look at one of the passages. Let's start in Luke. If you could turn to Luke 24. The last chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 24, from verse 44. Then He said to them, these are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So He opens their mind. And it's like, look, I'm revealing everything. The point of all of this, I'm revealing it to you right now. And it's fitting that this happens at the end of the story, right? It's like He's saying, look, I'm going to explain everything to you. And He says, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. This is what you just saw. He's explaining to them, like, this is the whole point of this story. This is what you just witnessed. You just witnessed the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Christ who suffered for us on behalf of us. He died for us. He rose again after 3 days. And now His story of forgiveness and repenting, which means turning towards God and saying, God, you love Me and I want to receive Your love. And I believe that You are My life. You're the source of my life, my joy, my fulfillment, my satisfaction, my hope, my peace. And God, I'm turning to You. That's repentance. And forgiveness, being forgiven of our sins. Mankind being restored and justified and redeemed. And Jesus said, that's why I came. That's what this is all about. All right, let's go back now. Let's go to Matthew. I'm sorry, let's go to John, since it's on the other side. Let's go to John. Go to John 21. Also the last chapter of John. In the last chapter of John, there's this guy, Peter. Peter, who failed. You know, and he's a picture, Peter's a picture of mankind, trying but never enough. You know, trying to, you know, Peter tried so hard, he had so much confidence in himself. That's how we, I think, that's a good picture of humanity. We have a lot of hope in ourselves. We have so much hope in ourselves, but it's never enough. You know, I heard this in a message, and I thought it was just really cool and really relevant, where the pastor said, if God came, if Jesus came here today, and he took away, he removed all hunger and all sickness, and he just took care of all the wars and created peace. He just did all that. And he said, there you go. And he left. The next day, there would be war. There would be hunger. There would be poverty. There would be sickness. Because those are actually not the problem. The problem is us. We create those things. And when we try not to, that's like Peter, who's trying, said, Jesus, I'll never leave you. And he just abandoned him at his last days. And how does this story end? Where Jesus talks with this guy one-on-one, and he's like, Peter, you remember you denied me 3 times? Here, all you have to do is just tell me you love me 3 times. And I'm restoring you. It's a restoration of a human. And he says, Peter, what does he say? Take care of my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Take care of people. Love them. Love people. Take care of them. Feed them. You know, help them. Heal them. That's what he's saying here. Tend to my sheep. And that's the last story in John. And in Matthew 28, you guys know, right, what does Jesus say? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so these stories end where it's like this, I mean, like, and here's my point here. If this stuff really happened, which most of you believe, like, have you ever considered, like, how insanely huge and life-changing that is? If this really happened, even if you don't believe this, or even if you're unsure whether this stuff really happened, whether the stuff that I'm talking about is real, I hope you can at least agree with me that if it is real, it changes everything. And what Jesus is doing at the end of these stories, I feel like it's like, okay, wow, I just saw, think about it, I just saw this guy who said he's God. He got killed for that. Crucified, okay? I know there's all these theories, right? Like maybe he didn't die. Sure, it's possible. Maybe he survived the crucifixion, which was like the most effective and painful ways to be executed in that time. And these guys were pros, these Roman soldiers. Okay, I'm sorry to say this. I don't know if you know much about Roman history. They were experts at killing. Okay, they knew what they were doing. But sure, it's possible that he somehow didn't die. But let's say he did. And let's say most of his disciples and most of the people there, they all saw that and they believed that. They knew it. They saw this guy die. They saw him buried inside of a cave. And then this huge rock was rolled over it. Let's say all that happened. And then on the third day, really, you saw him again walking and talking and basically saying, I did it. I told you I was for real. All this stuff is for real. Imagine being people who witness that. Man, could your life ever be the same? I think if this is true, it changes everything. And Jesus says, yeah, you're right. Everything has changed. I've redefined existence. That's what the resurrection does. And that's what happened at the ascension, is what I'm talking about today. After Jesus came back and when he left. Because it's interesting to note that after he did all, isn't it kind of weird that he would do all that and then leave? He would come here and die, go through this ordeal, and he comes back to life and he's only 33 years old. And you're going to think that, you know, it's like, all right, now what, Jesus? Like, you defeated death, so you're going to live forever, I'm assuming, because you're God and you're going to do all these great things. He does everything and he's like, all right, bye. And he leaves. It's really interesting. But there's a reason for that. It's because he came here to do something. He did it and he left, and it says he's going to come back, but in between, something happened. Something's going on here. Because he came here to do something. He changed everything. He redefined existence. Jesus came to restore humanity. That's what God came to do. To restore and to recreate. That's why in the Bible, Jesus is called the second Adam. It's a new creation, new beginning, new meaning to life. And that's why, what did Jesus say to Nicodemus in John? He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. We throw that around, like, are you born again? I'm a born again Christian. What does it mean to be born again, though? It means you're like a new creation. It means everything has changed. Everything's different. When after Jesus, guys, everything changed. Jesus came and he revealed something to the world, to these people in Jerusalem, that changed everything for them. And all he had to say was, you know that your life's never going to be the same. And I just see them like, so what now? And he says, love my people. He says, feed my sheep. Take care of them. He says, make disciples. What does that mean to make disciples? Go and tell people, not just here, throughout the whole world. Proclaim who I am. The life that you've received through me. This experience, this new meaning and purpose, and literally like you're changed from the inside out. You guys are not the same. He said, I've given that to you to go and spread it around the world. You know, where each of your lives now, and it's so amazing, each of their lives, like they know, like, dude, we're a part of something huge. That's what Jesus is saying. You're now a part of this. What I've done, what you've seen, you're a part of this now. And now your life affects other people's lives. And how this message, this truth, this beauty, this wonder, this reality, this new reality, and the word that's used in the Bible is kingdom. How this kingdom is going to be advanced is through individual lives. Your life affecting another person's life. And that person's life affecting another. Lives coming together, making communities, relationships that reflect God's character, His values, His love and goodness, and transforming the world. That's what it means when we say we want to advance God's kingdom. Or I live for God's kingdom. We say these things, we don't really think about what that means. That's why we are still here. That's why Jesus left. Because now it's the time, we're in this era where men and women are called and are invited to be a part of this story and a part of this kind of like world takeover in a sense, but in a good way. World transformation. World restoration. Where each of your lives matters now. Where each of your lives is important and it's part of God transforming and reshaping, recreating the world. And we know at the end of the story, later, Jesus comes and he like adds a cherry on top. And he like finishes it. But the cherry on top's like huge. It's not like a cherry, it's like, you know, a mountain. I don't know, it's huge, right? And he does this, you know, he completes everything. But your lives, each of our lives, are a part of this process of God restoring creation. That's why we are here. Jesus' life and death and resurrection changes everything. It redefines your life. It gives your life meaning. Every life has meaning and purpose. It has the potential for that. And that's why you are here. And you have to know that. Because if you believe this, you have to realize I don't see any other way. It's either you don't believe it or you're unsure and you just, you know, do your thing and you have your motives and whatever and you have your reasons for living and your reasons for being a good person or not, or I don't know. Or if you do believe this, however, You can't just be like, that's a cool story. Like, there's stories that I've, you know, or books that I've read and movies that I've watched where I've watched those things and I was like deeply impacted. It really touched me. You know, like, what's a story that, what's a movie that really like touched my heart? Like, you know, have you guys read the book Where the Red Fern Grows? You know, if you haven't read it, you know, shame on you and you should read it. It's a story about two little dogs, little Ann and old Dan. And it's a heartwarming and heartbreaking story. And I read that book and it changed me. I read it as a seventh grader. And at that moment, after reading the last page, I became a man. Okay, through that book. You know, I wept and it changed me. There's stories like that that change you. Or you read, you watch a movie, you know, like, and it's like, man, like, I'm inspired. The story of Jesus is inspiring, I hope. I hope it touches your heart. I hope it, you know, impacts you in a powerful way. But I think it's actually more than that. I think if you really believe this, like I said, this story changes everything. It literally redefines existence. Because now we know we're not just here. Like, my life has a purpose. That's why I'm here. It's not, if you believe this, it's not a purpose that I just create. It's a very specific purpose. Advancing God's kingdom. That doesn't mean you have to be a pastor or a missionary. It means whatever you're doing, if you're a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a business person, you work in a restaurant, you're a student, as a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a cousin, a friend, whatever you do, it's about advancing God's kingdom. Living out Jesus' life, his character, his heart, living out the reality that he brought down, where he came here. Jesus came, and it's so crazy, the story of Jesus. He literally created, it's like when I read the Gospels, the stories about him, it's like he created a world around him. And I think that's the kingdom. He created like a culture just followed him. And it was so countercultural. He hung out with people who people didn't want to hang out with, who people rejected, who people said were bad, who people were ashamed of. He loved these people. He loved people who least deserved love. He gave everything for people who betrayed him. He healed people. He listened to people. This is what he did. He had this, it was like this aura that was like literally a world that wherever he went, and anyone who was near him entered into that world. And that world, that culture, that kingdom, that's what the Bible says, right? That kingdom, that's what all of our lives are called to reflect and advance. That's what you're here for. Richard, that's why you're going to Otis. Congratulations. Use that to advance God's kingdom. Use that to spread Jesus. To share Jesus. And that's the purpose and the meaning of your life. It changes everything. You know, a good illustration, something that really illustrates this, you know, and I refer to this a lot because it's a great illustration. So I'm sorry for using this illustration more than once. But some people haven't heard it, okay, hopefully. The Matrix, right, the main character, his name is Neo. I'm not going to spoil the movie for you, but I think it's okay to say this much. He finds out, he's living in this world where, for those who haven't watched it, because surprisingly, I think there are actually a lot of you who haven't watched it. You're in this world. Who hasn't seen The Matrix? No, people are, okay. Really, YJ? Okay, YJ, you're coming over tonight. We're watching it. In The Matrix, basically every human, the world is has been overtaken by machines, okay? And, you know, like, you know, you can imagine, like, we develop artificial intelligence. They outsmart us, and then they take over the world. They realize that humans are the problem. Isn't that funny that all the movies where machines take over the world, what's the consistent theme? The machines, who are these objective and perfectly rational kind of like minds, if you would, right? Or processors, they are able to analyze existence and say humans are the problem. And it takes, and people don't get that. Jesus tried to say that, and no one believed him. It's not going to be until, you know, the T-1000 and Terminators take over the world that we finally understand that. Hopefully not. Okay, but that's what happens. Machines say, you know, the world, humans are bad, so they take over the world, and human beings are harvested, okay, and they're used basically as like, they're basically batteries for the machines. And they're stuck in these little pods, and then they're just, you know, the energy is being sucked out of them to fuel, like, the lives of these machines. And to kind of sustain humans, there's like this, they're plugged into this program called the Matrix, okay? Good. And what Neo, the main character, finds out is he finds all this out. He finds out that his life, he goes to work every day, 9 to 5. He works in a cubicle. And he finds out, like, dude, this is all an illusion. Like, this is not reality. I'm just in a program. And here's the thing. Here's my point on all this. When he realizes that, how ridiculous would it be if, you know, he realized it and he said, yeah, well, whatever. And he just went back. And well, obviously, we wouldn't have a movie if that happened. But the point is that once he realizes this truth, everything changes. His life is completely changed. He can't go to work anymore and just work the same way that he does because he knows it's just an illusion. I think that's like the story of Jesus. That's the reality that Jesus brought. Is that when Jesus came, when he died, when everything after everything he said, he rose from the dead, and his disciples are looking at him. It's like they know, guys, everything's changed. Like, we cannot live our lives the way that we did before. Even if we wanted to. It's not a matter of, like, shoulds at this point. It's not even, this is what you should do. Guys, you should try your best to be good people. It's so much greater than that. It's like, wow, I just can't. If this is true, you know, this changes everything, like I've said many times before. And so, how does this affect your life? What does work become? You know, what is your family life? What is your career choice? What do all these things become? How do they change in light of this reality? That you're here ultimately to advance God's kingdom. That's your purpose. And yeah, working, having a job, it's all part of it. You know, like, you don't just drop everything. You don't realize this and you quit life. That's not the point. You know, that's not what you do. You do your stuff, but it's about reframing your perspective. It's about redefining the ultimate goals. And I think doing that, I think if we can learn to do that, I think if we can have that faith and that trust, I think our lives drastically change, and I think they drastically change for the better. I think that's when we start experiencing freedom and satisfaction. I say those two words because I think our culture is riddled with bondage, feelings of being stuck and enslaved. Enslaved by our finances and our debt. Enslaved by our just, you know, our circumstances. It's like, man, how many of you guys go to work and it's like, wow, I have to do this for like how many more years? And it's like our life is just, how do I just get by? What do I do just to numb this pain and this depressed life? And that's life. You know, how many of us experience life like that? And there are these, you know, highs and lows, but ultimately, that's what it is. I think without Jesus, without some kind of reason, that's life. That's just all life is, just waiting until the end, just sustaining, just make it not so painful until the end comes and everything's gone. And people have different stories and different beliefs. What I'm saying, though, as a Christian, if you believe this, you can't live life like that, and you don't have to live life like that. It's about freedom. It's about satisfaction. How many of us are dissatisfied? How many of you are like looking, always looking for something? It's like nothing's enough. And I feel like for a lot of us, instead of living life advancing God's kingdom, we're living life trying to do whatever is the next thing that will satisfy me. That'll give me that'll just fill up my, you know, restlessness. You know, whether it's like, man, what do I have to buy? Like, dude, I know what will make me happy. We need a larger house. No, I need kids or a spouse. No, I know why I feel like this. I don't make enough money. Or this job is a dead-end job. I need to do something better. It's the city. It's them. It's you. And that's what I see in our society. People just moving on from the next thing, just looking for what will satisfy them, hopefully. And I believe when you change your perspective and you realize, man, I have a purpose. I have great purpose. And it's about advancing God's kingdom. And I think when you live that out, what Jesus promised us in the Bible, he says, if you abide in me, your joy will be fulfilled. I think what that means is he's saying, I'm actually not only giving you a new purpose, but this is the purpose and this is the life that you're actually looking for. So when you trust me and you start living the way I did and you realize why you're here and you understand these things, that is when your joy will be fulfilled. That is when you'll be filled. That's when you're going to be satisfied. And that's what our lives hopefully reflect to people. And you know, that's what I'm trying to do. And I know that's what all of us are trying to do, but I know it's hard. And I know sometimes what happens is we get stuck. We get stuck in these counter narratives. In like these sub narratives of the greater narrative. We get stuck in these mini stories where it's not about advancing the kingdom, but it's like we've created this new kingdom and it's like Daniel's kingdom, you know? And this kingdom isn't that good. The culture in this kingdom is not super, you know, like healthy at times. It's not really good. There's a lot of anxiety here. Because the king of this kingdom isn't really trustworthy. You know, whether it's me, or whether it's, you know, money, or you know, popularity, or what people think of me, or whatever it is. You know, those are not really reliable. And so this kingdom isn't super healthy. You know, Jesus talked about like abundant life. There's not really abundant life here. And a lot of times we get stuck in these little stories. And we forget that we're part of a greater story. We forget that our life has a purpose. And it has meaning. And there is a road to fulfillment and satisfaction. We lose sight of these things so easily. You know how easy it is. It just takes, you know, $200, $2,000 missing in your bank account. And you forgot why you're here. You forgot the story about Jesus. It takes, you know, one small financial mishap. And you completely lost sight of why you're here. You know, it takes one really mean boss take over your life. You know, it takes one fear, one concern. You know, these things, and they become your story. They become your reason, these things. You know, one accident, one little thing happening, whatever it is, and we get stuck, and our lives revolve around these things. Where it's like, you know, your purpose is no longer about advancing the kingdom, and paying your bills is just part of that. It's flipped around where paying the bills is your purpose, and advancing God's kingdom is sometimes a part of that. And I'm telling you guys, I'm not telling you guys to like make you feel bad. I'm saying that's not why you're here, and you don't have to live like that. That's not what the ultimate sovereign ruler of existence, God, that's not what he wants from you. You know, he's not like, dude, make sure you take care of that stuff. You know, he's saying, feed my sheep, love people, advance the kingdom, live out how Jesus lived, love people, you know, where you are at. Show them who I am. Show them who I am. That's why you're here. And literally he says, and I'll take care of the other stuff. How do we know that? Jesus literally said that. He said what? Seek first the kingdom and righteousness, and all else will be added to you. We live the other way around a lot. Seek first all else, and the kingdom may be added to us. We literally live like the opposite of what Jesus called us to live. And I'm just saying this. I hope that we can be free of that. You know, free from like, that leads to bondage, guys. That leads to dissatisfaction. So I'm just going to end by saying this. This is what I encourage you guys to do. I said that this story changes everything. So I challenge you guys, just dedicate time each day. You know, during your lunch break, after work, before school, whatever you're doing. All right, just find pockets of time. And here's how you start. Don't go and save the world yet. Okay, you don't have to do that. Just take time where you just remind yourself, okay, why am I here? Like, why did Jesus come and then leave? Like, what are we? We're in the middle of something right now. All right? What are we here for? And just remind yourself and say, I'm here to advance God's kingdom. That's what I'm going to do today. And nothing else matters. I'm going to love my friends, my family. I'm going to love people who are hard to love. You know, I'm going to try to be faithful at work. You know, I'm going to use my skills and whatever I have, whatever God's given me, wherever he's leading me. If he opens a door or an opportunity, I'm going to go. I'm not going to worry about all that other stuff, because that's not why I'm here. I'm here to advance his kingdom. I'm here to make disciples. You know, I'm not here just to plan for my retirement. Is that important? Yeah, it's important. You should take care of yourself. But those things all should be below what we're ultimately here for. It's advancing God's kingdom, making disciples, loving people, feeding the sheep, feeding God's people, tending to them, taking care of them. That's why we're here. But we lose sight of that. Just take a few minutes, and not just once. Do it a few times, because you forget a lot. And here's the best time to do it. The moment you feel stressed out, the moment you feel angry, the moment you're frustrated, the moment you feel like there's no purpose to anything, you just want to quit life, and you want to just quit being an adult, the moment you feel like that, just say, why am I here? And say, why are you freaking out? It's all good. I'm right here, and right where I am, my life impacts people. My life has meaning, and praise God for that. And I'm going to experience that, and I'm going to realize that. I'm going to experience this reality by obeying Jesus, loving the people around me, trusting God. And I think it actually is that simple. And sometimes we make it a lot harder than it actually is. So that's what I encourage you guys to do. Let me pray for us, and then we'll close our service.